This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about the greatest threats to America. But before we do that, let's look back a little bit, because there are some historical stories that I think about, like ones that stand out in my mind. Empires don't last forever. No matter how big and powerful they were, you know about the Assyrians. You, of course, have heard about them. Maybe you read about them in the Bible, or if your history teacher was worth anything, they taught you about this powerful, powerful civilization that ruled everything with an iron fist in their area for a while. And then there's this famous story, hundreds of years later. Greeks, a Greek army was on the run. I won't go into the details. And they're in the middle of nowhere. That's what they thought, in the middle of nowhere. And they came across this gigantic city, walls and everything, only it was empty. It had been abandoned, an Assyrian city. And they just had to take it in that there was some ancient society so powerful and now gone. The Romans. When the Romans, during the third and final Punic War, when they conquered Carthage and they were burning the city of Carthage, killing everybody and doing all those things, the Roman general leading that whole thing sat down and wept. Now, he didn't weep for the people of Carthage. He wept because there was this huge, gigantic, powerful empire, the Carthaginian Empire. Gigantic, unbelievably powerful. And he was watching the end of it, and he knew, he wrote it down, he knew that would come for Rome one day too. Societies don't last forever. Countries, empires, they do not last forever. We who are here now, we like to think it will. And when we look at our kids, I have two sons. Lord willing, one day they'll have children. We want to know that it'll be there, that America will be there for them, but that's not how life works. And we have a uniquely warped perspective of that here in America. And I don't say that because we're dumb. I say that because we've been number one forever. We've been top dog for the entirety of my life. There's been no question what the biggest, most powerful country on earth is. And when you are that, when you're America in the year 2025, when you're Rome in the year 100, when you're the Assyrian, when you are top dog at your given moment in history, you feel like the end of your empire will never, ever come, but it does. So what will get us in the end? Well, first, let's talk about immigration. There's really three things that are going to get us in the end. Immigration. No country of any size can stand up to the mass importation of foreigners. No country. Countries have tried throughout history, and they have failed every single time. It simply doesn't work. You have a country. The only point in being a country is because you have a cohesive society, an agreed upon culture, so you can't massively import other cultures and remain a country. You will eventually break up as a country internally. You already see this here in the United States of America. You will break up. There'll be a faction here and a tribe there. You can't remain cohesive with 8 million cultures. Now, that brings us to what Democrats have done to us with the help of Republicans like James Lankford of Oklahoma. You see, Democrats, because their goal is not only power, but the eventual breakup of America. America sucks after all, it's evil. Their goal is to bring in as many people as possible. And I need to make sure I stress this, because people on the right have such a hard time accepting that we're dealing with evil. They have a hard time accepting what I just said. Democrats didn't open up the border because they have some misguided compassion for immigrants. Right? That is, if you're on the right and a good person, that's the excuse you make for Democrats if you're trying to excuse the evil crap they just got done doing for 4 years. Well, I mean, they just opened up misguided. I actually saw someone today. They're misguided border policies. It's not misguided at all. You're misguided. They're very guided. They have a purpose in mind. Their goal is to massively import foreigners so they can remain in power. Foreigners will vote Democrat all the time. And that's one benefit. The other benefit is the crime foreigners will bring. When you massively import 20 million people in 4 years, you're going to have so many rapists and murderers there. And so they didn't just open up the border. It's not like they just opened up the door to the shop and then kind of walked away. All right, the shop's open. I'm gonna go out back and have a cig. No. They opened up the door to the shop, and then they put up a sign, said, everyone get in here and loot the place. And then they actually took it a step further. They went out into the town and grabbed as many people as they could and brought them to the shop. Democrats flew people into this country as fast as they could with your money. As fast as they could with your money. They created, Democrats are so evil, they created an app so foreigners could schedule their invasion of your country. That's how evil the modern Democrat Party is. What are the results? Well, Rachel Morin was a mother of five. She went out for a jog one day in Maryland. A barbarian attacked her, did not kill her right away, dragged her into the woods. Every woman's nightmare, right? Everyone I've ever talked to has this nightmare in the back of their head. Well, Rachel Morin lived it. Dragged this young mother into the woods, abused her in ways that I will not say here on the show, and then killed her. She did not die quickly. She did not die well. And Democrats brought those people into the country on purpose. This was Rachel Morin's mother.
Why are we not protecting the American citizens? It's just common sense. Why are we not protecting our children? And to have a senator from Maryland who didn't even acknowledge or barely acknowledge my daughter and the brutal death that she endured, leaving her five children without a mother and now a grandbaby without a grandmother, so that he can use my taxpayer money to fly to El Salvador to bring back someone that's not even an American citizen. Why does that person have more right than I do, or my daughter, or my grandchildren? I don't understand this.
She, of course, is referencing Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, who spent your taxpayer money instead of fighting for this country, actually got on a plane and videoed it. He was proud of this. Got on a plane and flew down to El Salvador, attempting to grab and return to America a non-citizen gang member.
Well, I'm asking President Bukele to... Okay. I'm asking President Bukele, under his authority as president of El Salvador, to do the right thing and allow Mr. Abrego Garcia to walk out of a prison, a man who's charged with no crime, convicted of no crime, and who was illegally abducted from the United States.
I'm struggling to find the exact words I want to use for where this puts us as a country. I'm going to talk about the debt really quickly, and I'm going to talk about the bureaucracy, but this is not just some random sociology major. We now have our highest up elected officials. They are committed to bringing in as many foreign barbarians as they can. And if we happen to get one out, they fly abroad to bring them back. I don't know where we're going from here. I don't know how we fix it. I really don't. And look, I haven't even gotten to the debt. Let's talk about the debt. this is the one that exasperates me the most, because this is not a partisan issue. There's actually no arguing what I'm about to say. You can argue time frames, but there's no arguing what I'm about to say. The debt situation in the United States of America will cause some form of dire fiscal collapse, not just for America, but frankly, for the entire globe, because when we collapsed, everyone around the globe will. And what I just said is 100% true. It will happen. And it's just simple math. You can't pile up endless amounts of debt. That's not how it works. It's never worked that way. This was Jerome Powell.
U.S. federal debt is on an unsustainable path. It's not at an unsustainable level. And no one really knows how much further we can go. Other countries over time have gone much farther, but we're now, we're running very large deficits at full employment. And this is a situation that we very much need to address. Sooner or later we'll have to, and sooner is better than later. In terms of, if I can say from my time working on these issues, it's not the Fed's issue, but if you look at a pie chart of federal spending, the biggest parts and the parts that are growing are Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and now interest payments. And so that's really where the work has to be done. And those are issues that can only be touched on a bipartisan basis.
We can't sustain this, and everyone knows it. Not just you. I know you already know it. Everyone in Washington, D.C. knows it, all of them. I have asked every senator friend I have, every member of the House I know, I've asked them point blank. You've seen me ask them on this show. Does nobody care that this is going to end? And virtually every one of them has said, oh, they all know it's going to end. It's going to end bad. They're all just kind of hoping it ends after they're gone. That's how crazy this situation is. You can't do this. And the American people, by the way, they have no stomach for cuts either. These politicians, the reasons they don't cut, the American people don't ask for cuts. In fact, the American people demand you don't. If you even threaten to cut something, the people run you out of office. You better not cut my benefits. Okay. Well, we're all going to get a cut here at some point in time. But keep doing the same thing. And that brings me to, I don't know if it's the most evil portion of this, because the immigration part's very, very evil, but the communist infiltration and weaponization of the United States government in ways recently that we have never, ever, ever seen before. I have never in my 43 years on this earth, and in fact, I know a bit about America's history, America's presidents. I've never in the history of this country seen an American president speak this way to the American people.
Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
Our patience is wearing thin? You're losing patience with us, Mr. President? For 4 years, we saw abuses by the government that I never thought I would see in this country in my life. Federal Bureau of Investigation going through school board meeting parking lots while mothers were inside angry about the demonic filth their children were learning in school. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was deployed against those mothers to jot down their license plates, open up files on them, and place them on a potential domestic terrorist list. That happened in this country. Donald Trump had his home raided by the FBI. In response to a Supreme Court ruling that made the communists angry, America's Department of Justice dug up an old, obscure law called the FACE Act and sent the FBI after pro-life activists across the country. We are in a very, very dangerous place, Trump or no Trump. And look, Pam Bondi keeps laying out all these threats.
We will find out who you are, and we will come after you.
Domestic terrorists, foreign terrorists, you better look out, because we're coming after you.
And if you've committed fraud, we're coming after you.
You better watch out, because we're coming after you. Let me be very clear. If you don't comply with federal law, you're going to be next.
Let this be a warning. You can run, but you cannot hide. Justice is coming.
I hope so, Pam, because if it doesn't, man, these people, when they get back in power, oh boy, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We'll talk to J. Michael Waller about the FBI next. up so good. I don't mean to brag. Look, okay, I do mean to brag, but I sleep good all the time now. Unless, of course, I forget to have my Beam. You see, I have dream powder from Beam. I know that there are endless things that are sold as helping you sleep, and full disclosure, they will. All kinds of things. Doctor will write you a prescription for something. You can go into the gas station anymore and buy something that'll put you to sleep, no question. But all those things have the same thing in common. You sleep, but you wake up and want to die because you're so tired and groggy. Dream powder is different because it's natural. Reishi and melatonin and all kinds of things. It's a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it. You will just sleep like a baby, and when you wake up, you will feel so good. Sound good? ShopBeam.com/JesseKelly saves you a fortune.
I promise you the following. There will be accountability within the FBI.
Good. I'm looking forward to that. Joining me now, J. Michael Waller, former CIA operative counterintelligence expert. He's also an author. Okay, J. Michael, before we get to the accountability portion of this, why don't you, in your much more expert ways than I, talk about how bad it got at the FBI before Cash got there?
It got really bad. So our big focus was on the wokeness and the politicization and the abuses that had occurred and, you know, rotted the FBI at the core over the years. But there's a lot more. Our counterintelligence is terrible, defending our country from foreign spies. The counterintelligence part of the FBI is one of the most corrupt of the whole bureau. They were the ones who set up Operation Crossfire Hurricane. One of their top guys was convicted working for Albanian intelligence, and he's probably a Russian spy. So it's really, really rotten inside.
Okay, well, I need you to expand a lot more than that on what you just said right there. What? How?
Yeah, well, first, the FBI has its own real discipline problem inside. It's got a crooked mentality at the top in two of the most important pillars within: protecting our country from corrupt officials. It's politicized, it's abusive. And then protecting our country from foreign spies, Chinese spies, Russian spies, jihadist spies, you name it. It's doing a terrible job. And some of the top people, like Charles McGonigal, he was head of counterintelligence at the New York field office. That's the biggest field office of the FBI, over 1,200 people, most powerful one, apart from maybe the Washington field office. He's in prison right now. He was part of Operation Crossfire Hurricane that was spying on the Trump campaign and setting up the whole Russian collusion narrative. So he was busted only because he was taking money from Albanians. But really, if you look at his record, you know, I would bet my salary that he was a Russian spy, and the FBI covered that up. They even didn't do what they call a damage assessment. When you have a crooked FBI agent or somebody who might have been a spy, you do a damage assessment to see what kind of damage this bad agent caused, not just the FBI itself, but the whole country. They had one person doing the damage assessment, and it was lame. And this is something that's been going on for decades. I was involved in the Robert Hansen case. This was 25 years ago. Top counterintelligence officer there in the FBI ended up being a Russian spy and was convicted of it, died in prison a year or so ago. They cut off the damage assessment team of him early because they didn't want to know the damage. So the culture of the FBI has been rotten for a whole generation or more.
Okay, so help me understand, is this just the FBI protecting the FBI? Is that basically what this comes down to? They don't want bad press. They don't want to purge this bad apple or that bad apple, because then you risk prying eyes from Congress and the American people. Is it deeper than that?
It's deeper than that. The FBI is not just a fraternity where everyone's looking out for one another, and there might be reasons to defend the Bureau here or there, certainly. But the biggest crime you can commit in the FBI is not to commit treason against the United States. It's not to politicize the FBI for partisan purposes. The worst crime you can commit in the FBI is to embarrass the FBI.
Oh, jeez. When did this... Now, I realize this is many, many years in the making. I've had plenty of friends tell me that it was Barack Obama, surprise, surprise, who really put this into overdrive by placing his people throughout the Bureau. Is that true?
Yeah, he did it. He politicized it. He had the wokeness imposed on it from above, and then recruiting younger recruits from below, and then artificially promoting him through DEI. That's what the whole DEI scam was in the government. It was to artificially promote people who simply weren't promotable, let alone hireable, and putting them in charge as lawyers, as managers, as people who hire, people who do the promotions, even field office, special agents in charge of the field offices, the local FBI offices around the country. So you might remember not long ago, there was that act of jihadist terrorism in New Orleans, and you had the top FBI person on duty at the time, the assistant special agent in charge, come out and contradict the mayor of New Orleans, saying that was not an act of terrorism, when it was. This is common throughout the whole Bureau.
Good God. Okay, you have the top, have written listen, extensively
the top,
about...
The top counterintelligence officer hunting foreign spies in the Washington, D.C. field office. Her name is Sarah Linden. She took the knee for Black Lives Matter, and she got a promotion and an illegal gratuity.
Okay, why is she still there?
We don't know that she's not there. We don't know all of the things that are happening, but there, she's not alone. That's the problem. There hasn't been no announcement that she's not there, so we have to presume she still is.
Okay. How do we take apart the FBI? Because that's what I want.
Yeah. Well, Kash Patel promised that he would take really strong actions. He's taking some actions. He's taking some good actions, but we need to hold him to his promise. We can't beat him up over it because just him and Dan Bongino, it's a two-man hostile takeover of a 37,000-person organization. But we do need to keep demanding progress. And if we don't see that progress, as Dan Bongino himself has said, don't expect me to say, trust me, Bongino said on X. He said, trust us by our actions, but our actions are going to take a while. So I'm cutting him a bit of slack, but and I urge everybody else to, but not too much slack, because the Bureau itself is going to, you know, the way the Bureau has maintained control of every director since J. Edgar Hoover is to surround him, and they run the director instead of the director running the Bureau. That's the big danger we're up against right now.
Okay, so Cash, I don't know. Dan, I do, and I do trust him. Does he have the power to make these reforms? Or, as you just said, is the FBI itself much more powerful than the director, deputy director, and they're simply going to stop all these reforms?
Well, I trust him, too. The problem is, it's just two guys. They have a huge staff. They've got a gigantic management that George W. Bush and Barack Obama put together. It's a giant, top-heavy management of real brown-nosers and a lot of people of very bad character running 60-odd senior executive positions at the top of the Bureau. That thing should have gone day one, but it didn't. Only a few people were removed. So as long as they're there, you're going to have the bureaucracy just surround Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and try to be helpful to them and indispensable to them so that they won't be able to function without these bad elements around them.
What role does Congress have, or can Congress even step in here? Look, we all want Congress to, well, I shouldn't say we all. I want Congress to defund them, to do things with fangs. Doesn't seem like they're ever willing to do that, so that kind of makes us stuck, right?
It does make us stuck. You know, Jesse, there has never been a serious congressional oversight investigation of the FBI in half a century.
Oh.
Half a century has gone by, and that was the only one in the FBI's entire history. So more than 100 years, there's only been one serious congressional investigation.
Good grief. Jay Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's talk about that debt with Dave Brat next. We cannot survive as a country if we continue to lose our testosterone. And I know this is an uncomfortable conversation. I do. But you should understand that we've lost 50% of our testosterone levels in the last 50 years. Now, that's not your fault. That's something else going on. Look, there's estrogen in the water. A lot of it now. Estrogen that was never there before. It's evaporating our T levels. So how do we fix that? How do we fight back? We can't continue like this. That's what a male vitality stack from Chalk can do for you. natural herbal supplements of the highest quality. Go get a subscription. 2-3 months, you're going to feel like a brand new person. Believe me, it's life-changing. Go to chuck.com/JesseTV. Get a subscription so you save a pile of money. Go. You will feel better shortly.
The cost of our debt has gotten so high that just the interest payments on the debt exceed the entire military budget. And it was just growing out of control. So the country was going bankrupt. It's just, you know, a country is no different from a person. If a country overspends and doesn't spend wisely, just like a person, a country will go bankrupt. So the reason I'm here is because I'm very worried about America going bankrupt due to the corruption and waste. And if we don't do something about it, the ship of America is going to sink. And we're all on that ship.
Well, we all are. We're all on that ship, and yet nobody's going to do anything about it. I'm 100% convinced. I am the most black-pilled person in the world when it comes to the debt at this point in time. Maybe Dave will talk me off the ledge. Maybe he won't. Joining me now, the Senior Vice President of Business Engagement at Liberty University, the great Dave Brad. Dave, it's very obvious that nobody wants to cut a dime. Nothing significant, of course. It's all, well, in 10 years, there'll be $50 billion. It's all the same games, but yeah. No one's pretending like there's an actual problem when the math says there's a gigantic problem.
Yeah, and just to review the math in 30 seconds, right? CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has us running $2 trillion deficits for the next 10 years. So 2 times 10 is $20 trillion on top of $36 trillion plus interest. So you're at $60 trillion in 10 years, right? And so that we used to have the bond vigilantes. They'd come in and clean house. But the Federal Reserve, it's called the Fed put, they keep printing money to bail out the rich folks on Wall Street, and then Main Street suffers. So that's the boom-bust cycle we're going through right now. Right now with Trump in, things are a little different. But on the fiscal side, yeah, neither side. I ran on it 10 years ago and got absolutely pummeled. I even brought up there's the discretionary piece, and then there's the mandatories, and the mandatories include Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all that's 2/3 of the budget. And if you mention that, you get your head knocked off your shoulders. But I was going up there to do the right thing, and so Elon, of all people, right, is saying everything right. He's not elected, and to the Republicans' defense, the Republicans are worthless on it also. But they're competing with the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus on the Democrat side, right? They've never seen a spending bill or piece of legislation they don't like. So it's a very hard fight.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You just mentioned how your constituents treated you when you brought it up. I ran for Congress, and I had mentioned Social Security was the largest Ponzi scheme in human history, which is a verifiable fact. They pretty much lost me an election. I lost by 4,000 votes. People, the American people love their government checks. They simply do. Yeah. They love the government checks. And so I guess that's a big part of why I'm black-pilled, Dave. No one actually wants to do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, if you work your whole life, making the middle American family income for a family, $60,000, $70,000 a year, and you put your money into Social Security, no one wants to hear about reforms because they think they're going to get ripped off. Because that's the only experience the average person has is everything they do up there, I get ripped off, and the rich people get richer, right? The top 10% own 90% of the stocks and bonds. So the average person is not paranoid, but Medicare, Medicaid, you know, the great hope is Elon with Doge. I mean, he showed us the tremendous abuse and fraud and corruption in the State Department, USAID funding all sorts of CIA cutouts in all of our press. And, if he can find those cutouts on the mandatory side, right, the 2/3 of the U.S. budget, that's a hope, because then you can go to the American people and say, yeah, you're getting ripped off. We can fix it. But that's the only way I see to make progress.
Dave, talk to me about foreign holders of our debt and pretend as if I don't have any idea how this works, because most people don't. They get confused. Wait, Japan, China holds our debt? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, so just look at doing a trade, right? What happens when you do a trade? We buy Chinese plastic stuff and, you know, some stuff we need. So we get the Frisbee and we give them a dollar of capital. And so that they own capital and then they got to buy something with that, right? So they can buy Pebble Beach, they can buy skyscrapers, they can buy farmland out in the West, unless the U.S. gets smart, and they can buy our treasury bills, right? And they come in all varieties. But basically, they'll hold our debt. I think foreigners own about, you know, 15 or 20% of our debt. So it's not a crisis at all, unless we get into a near kinetic war, and we're getting there with China, because they won't play team ball, right? They don't play nice in the sandbox with anybody. We've saved Western civilization a few times. We've set up the, you know, post-World War II liberal Bretton Woods order. We provide peace for shipping and the seaways across. We're paying for the Red Sea right now. We only have 4% of our shipping going through there. And we got 24,000 kids on boats defending the Red Sea for Europe, who won't pay their bill. And so when things get dicey like that, then China can start doing currency manipulation and selling off our treasuries and making our bond market do hiccups. But that only signals us that we've been stupid all the way along, right? We should not have ever put ourselves in a position where one country could try to tank our major systems, or, you know, monopolies and, you know, pharmaceuticals, and I could go on and on and on.
Well, Janet Yellen did go on and on and on. This is what she said.
If tariffs at this level remain in place, it seems to me it must produce decoupling. And I regard that as very undesirable. I think the tariffs that we've placed on China are going to impose very significant burdens on American households.
Dave, how's this going to work with China and the tariffs and the debt?
Well, for 70 years, U.S. productivity has gone down, according to the world's expert, Bob Gordon at Northwestern. You can go Google that. So productivity down 70 years in a row. It's now at 2%. That means wage growth is 2%. So Janet Yellen has done nothing to help the American household with 2% wages. And CBO and the Federal Reserve both now acknowledge we're only going to grow. GDP is going to grow at 2% for the next 30 years. So Janet, it's not good. Who cares? The data disagree with you, Janet. And that's why, according to CNN, 50% of the middle class people are coming over to the MAGA Trump idea of a new middle class revolution that brings jobs back, right? We fired 5 million manufacturing jobs. That crushed 5 million families. That crushed the manufacturing sector. That crushed all the services that surround the manufacturing sector. That crushed Detroit, where I was born, Lynchburg, where I am now, shoe factories, textiles, everything, furniture, they're all gone. What do you got to say about that, Janet? What's your alternative plan to give American jobs other than service sector and AI replace jobs that are coming if the elites have their way? So it's just utter nonsense. You got to do something. Trump's doing something. We got the right people mad at us, and that's the best hint.
What do we do, or what's it look like, I guess I'll put it this way, for me, the normal American, if the debt doesn't stop? Because I assume it's not going to stop. If we just continue down this road, what does a debt crisis look like for me? Not Washington or Wall Street. For me, what does it mean for me?
Well, it just means more and more government sector, which means more and more crowding out, right? So the government spending, the Biden green stuff, replaced manufacturing jobs, right? So we all send our money to Washington, D.C. The green game was basically just a tip of the hat in code language for I'm on the Democrat progressive side of politics. And I agree, in the face of all evidence, right? I think electricity output has gone up by 0.4% only after spending $2 to $3 billion on it. And so the productivity's not there. The government keeps growing. The elites control the government. The government jobs pay a decent salary, a high salary, double the American average. And it keeps crowding out manufacturing jobs. until we're all in low-paying, you know, wage rate, salary, not wage rate jobs, making 10, 15 bucks an hour, while the elites continue to get richer and richer and richer. The Magnificent Seven firms, if you don't know what those are, go Google those. They're all on the left. All the oligarchs and monopolists are all on the left. All the Fortune 500 CEOs, including Jamie Dimon, who's been weighing in lately about his newfound fear of all of these things you're mentioning. Where were you 1 year ago, Jamie? Right. So all these elites, they've known it all. Bank of America, in fact, along with the World Bank, had a tariff chart showing tariffs for the G20, the richest countries in the world, have 200 to 300% higher tariffs than we do, than the U.S. So we just want a level playing field. We want fairness for the American worker. That's what we're delivering. And all political views are my own, but it's a clear choice. That's why the American people are moving a certain direction.
Dave, appreciate you as always, sir. Come back soon. All right. It's immigration time. Always a heavy one. Talk to Victor Avila next. I hate that corporate America left us. And I hate that. I know I sound like an old man when I talk about that, but let me just say, for you younger people watching, it was not like this when I was a kid, and I'm not ancient, right? I'm 43 years old. You could turn on television, you wouldn't get any politics in the corporate ads. It was shoes and Gatorades and whatever, catchy jingles. There used to be jingles on TV. Now corporations use your money against you. It's frustrating, but we have to fight back. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say, well, times have changed. We have to fight back. Who's your cell phone provider? Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile hate your guts. Switch to the cell phone company that's on the same 5G network and doesn't hate your guts. You'll save a fortune. You don't have to have a new phone or a new phone number. You save money. You switch. You patronize a company that actually loves you. Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV.
And this whole thing with Mr. Abreu Garcia, it's that old wisdom, and terrifying is if you're not speaking up for this man, there will be no one left to speak up for you.
We do not disappear people in the United States, because here's the thing. If they can disappear Mr. Abreu Garcia, then they can disappear you.
And Donald Trump could not be airlifted to another country and just deported from the United States because he's a criminal convict. And this guy was never convicted of anything, has no criminal record at all.
They love illegals. And their newest hero is the gangbanger we sell to El Salvador. It's just, it is something else. Joining me now, Victor Avila, retired special ICE agent. Victor, it just must be so exhausting when you're in ICE or Border Patrol trying to do things, and to have these scumbags working against you all the time. It has to be just the most disheartening thing in the world.
Well, it's disheartening and it's despicable. That's what it is. And I don't remember, Jesse, anyone saying anything, the Democrats or the mainstream media, ever, not once, coming up and speaking loud about the 3 million or so that Obama deported, or the millions that Bill Clinton deported. Never heard a word. But now, because President Trump is getting rid of these bad actors in our country, they have a problem with it. This is their inconsistency on the left. The American people recognize that. No one, I could tell you, no one is against public safety. We all want public safety. It benefits all of us. And when you start siding and doubling down by siding with the bad guy, criminal, terrorist, by the way, they can't seem to get it in their thick heads that these people are terrorists. They have been designated as such, and that doesn't seem to be enough. But I've been saying this, why don't we replace MS-13 with ISIS? What would be the difference there? To me, there's none, absolutely. But if you would say ISIS, are they gonna be protecting ISIS members? Is that where we're going to now? Because that's exactly what they're doing.
Victor, how do we get through this as a country? Meaning, How do we get through it when one of the two political parties is committed to bringing in as many foreigners as humanly possible and half of the other party is too weak to stop them from doing so? Look, I love the things Donald Trump is doing, but it seems like we're bailing water on the Titanic sometimes with this.
It certainly does. I think that it's going to be what we're going to see with our own eyes. I think it's going to be the results of safer communities, of safer schools, and look at all these shootings that are happening. I think it's going to come down to that. And yes, it's slow. It might be slow and methodical, but in the long run, it's going to be, you're not going to be able to deny the positive that these actions are taking amongst our communities across the entire nation. That is what you're not going to be able to deny. And because they don't have that immediate result of what we're saying, even though, let me tell you, a lot of these communities where these bad guys have been living, they are so helpful and so grateful. By the way, the immigrant community, the legal immigrant community, are the happiest that this pedophile terrorist is no longer living next to them, because that's exactly where they live. They get deported, they come back where? There. Not being next to my house, but it's next to theirs. And they're the first ones to applaud what's happening. And I think it's going to be in the long run, unfortunately, but you're going to see it where they're not going to be able to deny the positive when the street, positive impact that it brings at the street level.
Speaking of the street level, can you talk about the cartels, the cartel war that Trump has essentially declared? They have had some strong words for it. We know they're doing things. We know there are drones in the skies. Are the American people going to see, you know, results in their own lives from this cartel war?
Absolutely. I think it's the preparations are way underway. Look at what the U.S. military, active military, is on our border now with this zone, this buffer zone that we have on the border. That's a huge, huge step forward. Several things. Illegal immigration, obviously the cartels with the drugs, the fentanyl, the meth, the cocaine that is still trying to come into this country. But now you have active duty military, not just to stop to prevent it, but the intelligence that they're gathering. Remember these Strikers, these little mini tanks that they sent down there, the intel that they're grabbing with those, they could see up to 2 miles. The drones that were flying and countering the drones that the cartels are flying. That's a big problem, by the way. The cartels have been getting away with flying their drones, not only with drugs, but gathering their intel against us. So you're going to see some major changes. I hate to say this again, but it is slow and methodical. The military happens to be that way in preparing, but I think they're doing the right way. They're showing us, they're telling us, listen, this is the we're laying the foundation, because there's going to be some action, whether it's inside of Mexico, I don't know that yet, but it's definitely going to be, we have enough to do here inside our own borders. Believe me, these cartel members are present everywhere. We need to go after these bad actors here.
They certainly are present here, along with millions and millions of others. Here was Stephen Miller at the White House.
There's 15 million illegal aliens that violently enter the country. If every one of them got the trial that you're asking for, it would take us centuries to remove them. Centuries. We've been talking about this in 300-400 years. Their great-great-great-grandchildren would be the ones representing them in court. That's how long it would take. Illegal aliens who come to our country have to be removed, and they have to be removed quickly, and that is an essential component of having something that we like to call a country.
Victor, how many are we going to be able to get out in 4 years?
That's the major question, because you saw the millions under other presidents get removed, but they didn't have the obstruction, right? They didn't have the judges ruling against them. And on top of this, Jesse, the procedures were very different. Just even under the Obama years that I worked under, they were the due process that you hear the left talking about is very different now. They have inundated the immigration system with so much paperwork that's the reason why they call this guy, oh, he was sent erroneously. It was because of a piece of paper, which actually means nothing at this point. However, they have made it that much more difficult, because now it matters where the person came from, what country that person came from, how that person entered the country. There is a process there. Now, when it comes to terrorists, all that doesn't exist. By the way, if you come in with a visa, the student visas, or any other kind of visa that these people have come in, by the way, illegally, that you saw President Trump get rid of the CP.1 app, and those people no longer have any status. I knew that was going to happen. Now they're fighting to keep the ones that came in under the parole process, which was completely illegal as well. I see that also happening. They're going to take away that permit. But those people, including the overstays that came in with visas, there is no due process there. If you are one of those people in that category, you can get detected and removed immediately. And that's what the part of the left that doesn't understand this, because they don't understand immigration law. All they have to do is research it a little bit. It's an Immigration Nationality Act that I have here behind me. And it's a matter of messaging, I think, from the White House as well. But it doesn't seem, I mean, Stephen Miller can't put it clearer than what it is. He's crystal clear about it, and they still don't want to hear the truth. And when you have a party siding with the bad guys, siding with terrorists, I don't see them winning another election.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. Good. Victor, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Final thoughts next. Look, we talk about these threats because if we don't acknowledge them, we can't do anything about it. And it can seem overwhelming, and honestly, it can seem like it just beats you down sometimes, doesn't it? What am I supposed to do about the debt, about immigration? What are we supposed to do about the weaponization of government? I can't do anything with the FBI. What am I supposed to do? Well, the first thing we have to do is realize there's a problem. And then we have to start seeking out political leaders who are willing to do something about the problem. We can do something. What we have lacked is not the ability. We have lacked the will. The people we have there now, they do not have the will to address these things in a real way. So we have to work on that. The communists didn't manage to take over everything after decades and decades and decades of work just by accident. They worked for it. It took them a long time to get them in the position where we are now. So it will take us a long time. But all we can do is start, right? We're not going to fix the debt tomorrow. We're not going to fix immigration tomorrow. We're not going to fix the weaponized government tomorrow. But we can begin, can't we? Let's never go back. Let's begin heading in the right direction. All right. We'll do it again.